Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. Today is March 3rd, 2021. It is a Monday, a beautiful moon day, and tonight, probably not while we're on the show, but shortly thereafter, Mercury is going into Gemini for a long, long time. This is our last moment of quiet Taurus. I'm Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here at the Bright Red Desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, and I am joined by my friend Heather, who's out there on the wilds of Montana. Heather?
Hi, this is Heather Roland Robin speaking to you from Montana, where it is expected to go below freezing again tonight. It's still staying kind of nippy at night, but it's nice and warm in the daytime. I just put some seedlings in the ground, which means it's sure to freeze tonight. So, but otherwise,
that's sad.
It's beautiful, yeah. And I am so looking forward to that Mercury going into Gemini. I mean, Mercury in Taurus is nice and settled and thoughtful, and if your life is nice and settled and thoughtful, that's easy. That's great. But if you're trying to juggle 20 things, it can feel very frustrating to have to do more than one thing at a time with Mercury in Taurus. So the Gemini gives us, it kind of ruins our attention span, but can give us the multitasking ability back, even
right,
if we're all a little
right,
ADD.
Yeah, we're a little ADD until July 11th, Heather, because Mercury is going into Gemini tonight at 10:49 p.m. Eastern, and then he enters his, you know, when he's in his sign more than 21 days, we know he has a retrograde. So the fact that we hear May, June, and July, we know Mercury's going to be retrograde. So he's going to enter his shadow on May 15th, so 16:16 Gemini, and then he is going to station to go retrograde on May 29th at 24:41 Gemini. And then it's going to go backwards through the eclipse season and station to go direct on June 22nd at 16:16 Gemini. And then he is going to leave his shadow on July 7th, 24:41. And then he leaves Gemini on July 11th. So we have got a rocking and rolling little patch of time ahead of us, because we are going to be working with Mercury in his favorite sign. He loves Gemini. You know, he likes Virgo a lot, but Virgo makes him work hard. Gemini just means he just talks a lot. And so he'll be happy talking, which is always good for Mercury. And we will be bouncing around. And we're going to go through the eclipses with Mercury in Gemini. So that promises a lot of excitement. Lots of excitement.
Good for multitasking, but if you want to track something, track it carefully during this time.
I think I see our friend, Mark. I'm unmuting him. Mark, you there?
Hello, Ann. Hello, Heather.
Hi, Mark.
Hello,
how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Getting ready for Mercury in Gemini?
Yes.
Yes,
we were just talking about that, and any minute now, it's very soon. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. It
sleep can be a little difficult. I am out of melatonin, and I'm going to have to get some for Mercury retrograde, Mercury in Gemini, and because I do have, you know, my mind goes back to so many places that it doesn't want to go to sleep.
Yeah, and it is kind of that buzz, you know, it kind of has a whole energy of, you know, I mean, I love it when he's in Gemini, because I always feel like I get a lot done, and I was really organized the other day when Mercury trined Pluto. I cleaned off my desktop, I put all these things in my folders and organized things, and then I sent out readings that I hadn't sent out since February. So I got a lot done. But now I'm like, all right, I'm running in organization mode, or I feel like I am. We'll see how long that lasts. But we do have, it's good. It keeps us out of trouble, this energy.
That organization. Now, one of the exciting and coming up, we have Venus trining Pluto this week on the 6th. And today the Sun squares Saturn, so there's some interesting edginess. And that Venus trine Pluto, kind of bringing us back to our feelings and our emotions right before Venus goes into Gemini on the 8th itself, right before the new moon in Taurus next week. But we'll be talking about the new moon in Taurus next Monday.
Well, in Venus square Saturn,
but
I
noticed
Melissa
when
Bill
I was
Gates
looking at the American chart today that Neptune right now is directly to this near second opposite where Neptune was in the American chart when America was born. So we're talking about the great lies all over the headlines today. I thought it was really interesting Neptune opposition material. And we're talking about where is the truth. Yeah, when it was exact, and Pluto is within a degree of the Pluto return. It's turning retrograde, so it's going to back up before it and go forward again before it hits the exact Pluto retrograde. But it's an interesting time in the American chart with Pluto conjunct Pluto within a degree and Neptune opposed Neptune for America. So what is the truth, and how do we renovate the power structure in America? Quite literally in the you know, they're talking about alternative energy power structures and in the power structures in the departments and the people and the redistricting and all the possible ways we could use Pluto. I think it's going to continue to surprise us what does our Pluto return mean for this country.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It definitely gives us a whole different head in terms of how we're going to do things. And also with that Venus aspect you just mentioned, that is Bill and Melinda Gates just announced they're getting a divorce. So I thought of that. That's one of that squares, you know. And it was a 27-year. After 27 years of marriage, we're bailing. We're changing our structure here. So it also for all of us is saying, okay, what's that next chapter that we're doing? So, So good.
Interesting process.
Yeah. Kind of fun. And then the weekend, Venus goes into Gemini. And then next week we have a new moon in Taurus, which officially starts eclipse season. And I cast the two charts for Mercury going into Gemini and Venus going into Gemini. And they're on Niobe, who lost her children and mourned and lost her husband and mourned. And one of my people mailed me a note saying Wendy mailed me a note. Or Emily or Wendy, blanking. Oh my God, I have too much going on. But anyway, mailed me a note that there's an exhibit about Mary Todd, who lost three of her children and, of course, her husband, and, you know, mourning and losing a child and what that looks like. So it was, and it's just opening at the Lincoln's cottage that they used to go to. So, I think it's an interesting energy. We're kind of reflecting, you know, Mercury in Gemini, especially when he's a retrograde, brings back a lot of our ghosts and asks us to talk, and he will be retrograde during eclipse season. So that's going to really bring up a lot of, you know, old things. It's on the North Node, so it's going to inspire us to go forward, but it's also kind of deeply emotional on a very fundamental level. So it'll be interesting to see how it shows up. So, I don't know. Fun times. Mark, what have you noticed about the energy? What do you like to say about Mercury retrograde? You always do good takes on them.
Well, Mercury retrograde in Gemini, it's sort of like a double negative, you know. in the Mercury in Gemini is in good shape, and then in retrograde, not so good. But it gives Mercury like a leg up on dealing with the retrograde. So I think that this one, people won't feel it so much as they often do, because the Mercury is just stronger, so it keeps falling off balance, but it catches itself pretty quickly. So you'll have moments during the Mercury retrograde where you feel like, oh, everything is all messed up, not communicating right, not getting my ideas across, and then suddenly you rebalance more quickly than you expected. It seemed like it was all over. And then, oh, wait a minute, here's a new door.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm anticipating.
I was thinking that I'm planning on taking a weekend retreat because that's our 20th wedding anniversary on Memorial Day weekend, which is when Mercury turns retrograde. So, of course, we'll be traveling, and at least I'll know better than to try to talk out anything through while Mercury's stationary. But we're going to be visiting old ghost towns and old mines in Butte and around Montana. We always do strange things for our wedding anniversary. It was Fleet Week in New York, and we used to go on, you know, battleships and investigate. So, but strange things to do on your wedding anniversary. But it's a good time. It's you know, the time about going into the past to find a creative and healthy way to revisit the past. Now, there may be some interesting political information that comes out with Mercury retrograde in Gemini, because it can be a real way of investigating old journalism or old stories, getting the story behind the story, getting some hidden information. So find a creative way, this particular one, to get family history, get the stories, that the past may be safer than the present when you try to talk things through.
Yeah.
I think the past is safer than the present. Mm-hmm. I have very fond memories of the past. The present's a little crazy to my mind.
Yes.
But, you know, okay. You know, that's a good observation, Heather. Like, yeah. I find I've been really thinking about people I hadn't thought about in a really long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's been interesting with the Mercury in Taurus, you know. It's in my third house, so it's people, you know, I hadn't talked to or I hadn't thought of. You know, I was thinking about, you know, younger times. You know, one of the president of the university when I was a freshman, sophomore and junior, passed. And he had, they had a biography, you know, in the Olean, well, somewhere on the western part of New York, because one of my friends who lives in Buffalo mailed it to me. And, you know, and it brought back all these memories of sophomore year in college, freshman year in college. We had social visitations. They allowed the boys into the girls' dorm and vice versa. And I got caught in the boys' dorm after hours, you know. We were just drinking and listening to music, but I went in front of the university judicial board, and the people before us had been kicked out of the college, but they were having sex. So we were just sitting around drinking and listening to music. So we just got, like, community service. But, you know, it brought back all these memories, you know, like sophomore year in college and what was going on. And then somebody wrote me and said, you know, did you know this professor who talked there? And I'm like, yeah, I think I know who he is, you know. So it was like memory time, you know, brought back Rat Lab. He was my Rat Lab teacher because I was a psych major. And I had Luke, cool Paul Luke, we called him, because he had to press the bar and if he pressed the bar enough, he got treats. So my Skinner class, conditional and
how
improvised.
How interesting. That is interesting,
you know.
Bits of the past that come through.
Yeah, just kind of, it was like this, down this weird little memory chain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, kind of wild.
And often, now, it's interesting that Bill and Melinda Gates announced they were getting divorced today.
Mm-hmm.
And they run the biggest philanthropy organization in the country, probably ever has been. And they, at the moment, sound like they're doing it very amicably and thoughtfully. It will be interesting to see what happens with Mercury retrograde. Sometimes people make a decision like that right before Mercury goes retrograde, and then they have to rehash it 3 or 4 more times while Mercury's going back and forth over that position.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, we don't know what they're going through, but it's kind of interesting to see. It may not be as neat as it looks from here. But for all of us, when you make a major decision, a relationship decision right before Mercury goes retrograde or while Mercury is retrograde, you know, be prepared to just kind of say, I need a break from you for a while, not I need a break from you forever, because we may rethink it later, like get through a Mercury retrograde cycle and then say, nope, when Mercury's going forward, it's going backwards, going forward, and I still need to get away. That makes sense.
Yeah, and so that's the end of July. But this week we were feeling, because Venus was squaring Saturn, Mercury squared Saturn, Venus squared Saturn, Sun squaring Saturn, you know, we were feeling we had to take some kind of action and shift stuff and move in a new direction. And then once we do that, then okay, then what, you know? So that is also part of it. And then once Mercury goes into Gemini, he's going to be in conjunct Pluto all, you know, this whole retrograde back and forth. So he's going to have a lot of dialogue with Pluto. He's going to get to 24. So he's going to talk to Pluto's, where Pluto's going in September. So it's kind of, it's a real process-oriented time where we, you know, we've been asked, this year is all about making adjustments in our life and coming up with a new chapter. And then next week on the new moon, we go into eclipse season, and, you know, Venus and Mercury are meeting up in the eclipses. So there's a lot of energy around change in a good way, and also maybe a little bit scary, but, you know, little bits of life. So we'll see what the story is. Intense is what we're going to call it.
Yes. Shall we call someone on the line? Speaking of which,
sure.
Given that time,
that sounds good.
Let's see. Okay, first caller, area code 901-364. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, how y'all doing this evening? Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. This is Sylvia, 4461.
Yep, let's see if I think I've got you on file by now. How are you doing, Sylvia, and how can we help you? We always want to kind of move on through a lot of people tonight, but let's see how we can help you.
I would like to know, how do you know if you have what is called the hand of God in your chart, and if you do, what does that mean, and why are people coming to me, talking to me, but they don't want the advice that I have to give them? So that's it.
What's your birth time, Sylvia? Heather may have you on file, but I don't. April 4th, 1961.
5:51 a.m. Memphis, Tennessee time.
I remembered the Memphis, Tennessee. 5:51 a.m., right? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember the Memphis part. In that accent, yes. You've got a good accent. All right.
I love that sound.
Yeah.
And one of the things, you know, you've got, there's an expression that I love as it works in astrology, that your genius is found in your bad habits, and your bad habits are found in your genius. And you can always see that in astrology, that, you know, your gift is you're good at telling people what to do. And one of your gifts, with the sun in Aries, on the Aries ascendant. But even when people ask you, you hear, like, you are a proactive chart. You see a problem, you want to fix it. You want to just take action. Do something. Why not? Why would anybody tell you there's a problem if they don't want you to solve it, right? I mentioned this before, the one couple who said when someone's complaining that they've learned to ask, do you need comfort or do you need advice? And not say a word until that answers. And so often people just need comfort or a place to process. And they said, the person who wrote that said that they got rid of 90% of the household arguments.
Wow.
And so you might find that if you can just kind of, when people come up with a problem, you do that piece. Now, ends are hand of God.
Finger of God.
Special.
Yeah,
finger of God.
You've got two of them, Sylvia. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they lap legs. You ready? Okay, so one of them comes from your Pluto in the sixth and your node of fate. And some astrologers don't like the node of fate, but the Pluto's there. But I like nodes in figurations because the Vedic astrologers do it. And it goes from Pluto over to your Jupiter up there at 3 Aquarius. And then it goes to your series, which is your asteroid of how I nurture and take care of people and comfort, you know, to Heather's point, do you want comfort or do you want advice? And then the other one comes from your comfort planet series, which is 7 Aries. It goes over to Pluto, and then it goes over to Neptune in the 7th. So Neptune in the 7th, they come into you and they go, I want to talk to you. I have a problem. And you go, okay. And they're coming in on your leg of your finger of God. And it shoots over to your series, kicks off your mother energy, and you go, I can help. And then you tell them, and they go, I don't really like that advice. That's the Pluto on Virgo, right? And so your finger of God, your question is actually combined. And if you notice, the fingers of God, there's two of them, one with the head being the series, which is 7 Aries in your, you know, right there on your ascendant. You're like, you asked me, why wouldn't you want it? And the other apex is Pluto in Virgo on the north node in the 6th house. So they, you know, they kind of know, but a lot of it is they want to complain. I had a therapist for a long time, and she calls them help rejecting complainers. And, you know, I kind of like that. It makes you feel better, you know. You ask for help, and they reject it because they really want to complain.
Right.
And sometimes,
we all need room to do that. We just have to be clear.
You need room to do that, yeah. But your Aries with your Pisces, when they don't take your advice, your Pisces is in, your Mercury is in Pisces, and you feel bad. Because you really do see what could solve it, because that Pisces, Mercury trines your moon in Scorpio. And you can see it. But then when they don't take your advice, your Saturn feels picked on because it gets a sextile from the Mercury. So, but yeah, you do have two. And you are wise with the Jupiter in Aquarius. So, but you have two fingers of God, and they're interlocked, so that's called a focused yod. The points are Pluto North Node, Jupiter Chiron, South Node, Vesta, Ceres. Sound like a plan?
It sounds like a plan. So when I ask, I'm going to make it short. So when I ask, okay, well, you know the problem. What do you want to do?
Right.
And then you don't. Then he or she don't want to do nothing. So you just want to Yeah. So I'm just at that point, like I'm.
You say, you just need some sympathy and some time. When you're ready to do something about it, let's talk.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I will do. Yeah. Okay.
That's how Heather handles it, because you know Heather tells you how to fix the problem too, right? That's like
I'm terrible fixer.
We got one problem fixer talking to another problem fixer.
Yes.
Mark, you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, you want to really work on the talent of moving people along. You know, don't let them stay too long with what's the problem. You know, you give them a suggestion, and if they're not going to do something with it, move them along.
Move along. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to move along, like get them out and get them off the phone. Get them out of my face, like, okay, yeah. So this person I want to, you know, I try not to be blatantly blind.
You want to remember they seek you out because you're able to listen. So you just have to build in how to bring closure to the conversation.
Yeah.
And that takes a little practice. If you're aware of it, it's not that difficult.
But you are figuring it out this year. Yeah, you're having Pluto square your Venus. Yeah, so you're really figuring it out this year. So, who actually wants your help and who just wants to complain? So.
Yeah. So they need to be charged and charged more. Okay.
Yeah.
That works. And I'm going to take like Heather and save you, so you don't have to give us your birth time next time. But we will announce it to the listening audience. But yeah.
Thank you all.
Okay.
I will yield the flow so y'all can get another call. And just keep me on the line. I'm going to keep listening. Then I'm going to go back and replay this too.
Okay. Wonderful. You take care.
Okay. Thanks, Sylvia. Big hugs. Have a good one.
And let's try this one. Hello, 214-680, you're on the air. How can we help you? Hello? Hello, 214-680, no, okay. Hello, 214-680, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were having a connection problem. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a quick question. I've called once before, but my birth time is, I'm sorry, my birth information is 3/4/1980 at 1:17 p.m. And that's in Irving, Texas.
And what's your question?
Hi. First, I just wanted to say to Sylvia, the thing about people asking for advice and then not wanting to take the advice they give, Anne mentioned twice this week on both Weekly Weather and on the Astro Hub Weekly Weather that people, you know, if you hear something twice, this is significant. So I've heard that twice already this week, so it's apparently up for all of us. I just wanted to confirm that. Apparently, that's just all over the place. But my question is, another thing that Sylvia brought up and why I actually asked to come on after I heard it, related to something that pinged in on her Ceres. And I noticed when I was looking at my chart lately that I seem to have a recurring theme around mothering or the mother figure in my chart, and I'm still trying to make sense of it. But I wondered if there's anything you guys can see either natally or in transit that might help me toward understanding that part of my chart or those energies of my chart.
And mothering
being a mother or
your
stories
mother?
With your mother.
Yeah, exactly.
I think both. I don't have any children of my own, but I do have a close relationship with my mom, even though it's complicated. And other people in my life around me seem to have interesting or complicated relationships with their mothers, but nobody's estranged. So I just wondered if you guys see anything that
yeah.
I'm supposed to be looking toward or understanding about that part of my chart or those things that speak to mothering in general.
Well, it looks like you got some complicated information around that. You were born with a moon conjunct Pluto, an applying conjunction. So the issues around, you know, loving but weird family, convolutions around power dynamics and, you know, who's present and when they're not and what do you owe them and how do you handle it and when do you keep the peace, et cetera. It's pretty complicated. That's in your fourth house of home and mother. You have Saturn right on the cusp of your fourth house. There's some karmic sense of responsibility and complications around your mother, mothering, the kind of seeing people through things. And that Saturn's taking a direct trine from Pluto this year, bringing it all up and saying, how do we renovate this and bring this to the forefront? Your progressed moon is, you are about 3 months away from a progressed lunar new moon, so that's beginning a new emotional cycle right near your Venus. And so, you know, all of those things are layered up, and Pluto is at the moment trining, squaring that progressed sun and moon, it will be, and your Venus. So, you know, there's so many layers here, you'd really want to take time to take it apart.
Okay.
Just trust that
Thank
you're
you.
In a process, that it's karmic, that there are layers, that each individual piece doesn't have to make sense. But you can take it apart and notice, what am I learning here? What am I feeling here? Whose feelings are these? Is it mine or is it somebody else's? And just kind of parse it through. And what are you seeing?
Well, I noticed that the Venus and the Moon and Moon Pluto are kind of in opposition. And Ceres is next to the Venus. So a lot of times when the Venus-Moon opposition happens, mom, when you were born, you know, you're the transits in your parents' chart. So your mother was having a complicated time. So it's helpful to talk to her and see what was going on because she was trying to figure out how to be a mom and how to be a woman, and those two planets are opposite each other, so they feel like they have to figure out how to resolve it. So your chart now, because of the energy in the sky, you're working on that, too. You're working on solving that, too. And so that journey that your mom did when you were born is helpful to understand what you were born with, and then you've evolved, of course, in your life, and you're now at a real crossroads in figuring it out with all the transits that we're having. Mark, what do you see? Mark, you out there? Did I get dropped?
Mark,
no, I can still hear you, Ian. Maybe
oh, okay, good.
Yeah,
well, my internet lately, it dropped me the other day. I was like, oh, my God, I got dropped.
No.
So I don't know.
It looks like
Mark
it
got dropped.
Mark.
Mm-hmm. It looks like Mark got dropped. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Well,
Heather, do you have anything else
you
want to add?
Well, we're on the last minute, last 10 seconds, so I'd say good luck. Listen to your heart. Mother yourself first and foremost. Mother yourself the way you would like to have been mothered, and then be aware of others. That's that Libra-Aries balance that you're working on this year.
Yeah.
Okay?
And you are a Cancer rising,
Thank you.
You're also an empath, so other people helping you work out stuff is really helpful, too. So,
right.
So good luck with it. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thank you,
wish everybody
I really
we lost
appreciate
Mark.
You.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Glad you like us. Thank you. And Ann Ortley signing off from the Bright Red Desk.
And Heather Rowan Robbins from Montana. And we say goodbye to Mark Woltz, who's got thrown off by the Internet, but not by from his heart. He's still with us. You take care, and
we'll see
you
all next week.
Next week.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye, everybody.